So, yeah, I just wanted to ask you a couple of things before we went up for the press launch, if that's okay. So you're obviously about to publish The Last Words, which is has references to an eminent writer who's selling his archive to an American university. Why did you want to deposit your archive at the British Library?
Well, I worked here in the other building in Fremont, which I really loved. It was a very great experience for me. And I also felt it was important that stuff was in London, that it was part of British culture. I've seen the archives at Emory, where Rushdie's kept his stuff, and I've seen some of the other stuff. It just seemed so far away and difficult to access. I was born and brought up in this country. I feel that this is the best place for it, and you can just pop into the British Library and look at it whenever you like. I don't quite see why British writers are selling off their stuff to American universities, apart from for the money, which seems to me to be a very good reason if you're a writer, particularly if you're a poet, you know.
Yeah.
You need to, I guess, make money. But it seems to me that what makes British identity is the language. You know, and the language from Chaucer, Shakespeare, all the way through to the, you know, and Britain has a really great literature, and insofar as I can be, I'd love to be part of that.
Did it feel strange at all when you were going through the negotiations about it? People sometimes say it can make them feel posthumous before their time.
It does. It has a very strange effect on you, because you feel as if, in some sense, that's it, you're done, and you're not ready to go. And on the other hand, obviously, I continue, oddly enough, to live and to keep diaries and to write journals and so on. But now when I write the stuff, it's much more self-conscious. I think somebody might be reading this, whereas genuinely, when I wrote it before, it never occurred to me that anybody would read it. These are private diaries of, you know, stuff that happened to me last night, let's say. Or I went to the mosque, and sometimes I would keep that material to use it in the book or whatever. But I didn't write it or revise it in the way that one would prepare a piece of work for publication. So it's the unselfconsciousness that's of value. But I'm continuing to live and to write.
So do you think in the future, knowing that your diaries you're writing at the moment and future ones will eventually end up in the archive, do you think you will be tempted to omit things or to write in a different way?
Well, I've got I keep a plastic bag, which is my desk view, Rachel. So anytime I write any cobblers, any rubbish down, or anything that I'm doing, when I finish it, I just put it in the plastic bag and I send it round to you. It doesn't really make me feel self-conscious, actually. Not particularly. It doesn't particularly bother me. No, not really.
And how do you think people are going to use your archive in the future? What sort of things do you think they're going to learn from it?
Well, in one sense, it's a sort of record of some things that went on in London since punk. Particularly the Fatwa period, which I think is important. Conversations with people like Kinnock, who I knew, Bowie, Brian Eno, etc., more personal stuff. But it's the interweaving of the personal and the public, being a writer during this period. And also all the stuff of the way Britain has changed, certainly in terms of race. The horror of being a child in Britain in the 60s. And the way Britain has become multicultural, in some sense, it will be a record of that, thinking about race, talking about race. So it's just, in some sense, it's a sort of, it'll become the diary and the other stuff, sort of social document. And I came from the Royal Court Theatre, you know, and one of the things in the Royal Court, particularly with beginning with John Osborne, stood for, was the idea that you would write about a contemporary. That you would write about the way society and the individual, as it were, collaborated. And that's really what my work's about. If you look at my beautiful laundrette, it's also a picture of stuff that's going on the street at that time.
Could you say a little bit about your working methods when you're writing a novel, for example? Do you seem to write onto the computer, then print out a draft, and then work them out by
hand? I write by hand. I always write by hand. Everything's written by hand first. And then I type it in, but every sentence is written by hand. I got up this morning, I'm thinking about doing a book, To Sow with Love. And I just made notes about the late 50s and the 60s, for instance. About music, about class, he talks about jive, he talks about politics of that time, post-war devastation and so on. So I would just make notes. And then eventually I'd type everything up. But I like writing by hand. I see writing as a physical activity. And I rewrite a lot. I was reading somebody the other day who writes essays, and he just writes them. He said he hardly revises them. But I don't understand that. I can't not work on a piece for like 60 times, rewrite it, reread it, then that sentence seems a bit odd, then I rewrite that, and then continuously. And each time it develops, you add a little bit and so on. It's an accretion. So it's not as though I would write it and then rewrite it, and that would be it. The rewriting is also, the writing is creative for me. I mean, I don't understand how you can just write it down. I was very impressed by that, I'm rather shocked by it, I didn't understand it. As though you didn't develop it.
Arthur Conan Doyle's manuscripts, for example, we've got some here, it seems they could be fair copies, they're more or less just written with very little revision at all. So he did seem to compose in this kind of white heat and then just write it all down, but there aren't many writers, I think, who seem to work like that.
Well, the question I want to ask about that was, did he have it already in his mind and then transcribe it? Or did he, as it were, make it up as he sat down with his pen? But that would be incredible to do, the idea that you could just sit down and write a story beginning to end without revising it and sort of know what it would be. It seems amazing to me.
I've just read The Last Words quite recently. And so it made me think you're obviously very sort of very alive to the potential of the archive to challenge and to also perhaps act as a destructive or troubling force to some extent. Have you got any worries about having your own archive open to the public? And were you thinking about depositing your own archive when you were actually writing The Last Word?
Well, I'm very worried about it, and I hope there are locks on it, because I don't want people... There's a lot of personal stuff in there, a lot of stuff about people, you know, my own family, the kids, various women and all that. And I think they're very worried about, you know, the Daily Mail going in there and reading, I hate my wife, what a bitch, I wish she would die, kind of stuff. On the other hand, there's something about being unguarded that is... But it's real and true. But actually, if you decide to become a writer, it's a public act. There's no hiding now anywhere in the world. The idea that Francois Hollande could go on a moped across Paris with a helmet on his head and nobody would ever notice just seems to me a madness. There is no privacy. Everything you do online, everything you do anywhere, is recorded. It's not the facts that are interesting, though. It's, in a sense, How do you see this person's life, the meaning of their life and what they've done? Facts are nothing. But I can't control that. Whether, you know, what somebody may or may not make of me as a writer today, or 5 years' time, 20 years' time, or 50 years' time, if they're interested, who knows? I mean, you see that with anybody. You see it with Kerouac. So the way Kerouac continuously is, you know, rethought about, reevaluated, who is he, what was he, what's his place, where does he belong, etc. So there's nothing I can do about that.
Do you have any apprehension that the archive will lead people to focus primarily on biographical readings of your work? Or again, is that just say something you say you can't do anything about? It just has to be out there and people will make of it what they will?
I don't think the I think the biographical stuff can only take you so far. I mean, you might read Crime and Punishment, and then you might read up about Dostoevsky. And you might ask yourself the question, what must have happened to this man for him to want to write Crime and Punishment? But in the end, you'd get a good idea of what had happened to him, what his life had been like. But there would be some magic that would happen between you and the reading of Crime and Punishment, with all the information about Dostoevsky somehow wouldn't... It would be like John Lennon. I love Strawberry Fields Forever. It's such a far-out record. And you could learn a lot about John Lennon, and you would understand quite a lot about Strawberry Fields. But there's something that listening to that record that is beyond all the detail about him and his mum, really. I wonder whether knowing too much about an author is sort of counter-art or anti-art, as though somehow it would all fall apart. You knew everything about Strawberry Fields Forever, whether it somehow loses magic for you.
And just going back to thinking about the archive, again, do you remember, was there any particular points when you started to see all your notebooks and all your diaries and all the stuff that you were accumulating around your house as an archive? When you began to think, actually, this is something to be preserved and that people will use in the future?
No, not really. I can't think like that. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to think of myself as a sort of institution. I want to see myself as someone struggling with what I'm trying to do tomorrow. That's all that matters to me, really. What I'm trying to do next and where I can get my head around it and write the things that I'm trying to write tomorrow. That's all. I want to live forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.